Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We worship you. And indeed, God, we truly are thankful for our salvation, knowing that we did nothing to deserve it, knowing that we all deserve death, but by your grace, you have saved us, Lord. May we, all the days of our lives, glorify you in all we do, say, and think. May we bring you honor and praise in everything we do, say, and think. May we lay down our very lives for the sake of the cross. May we look to do your will for our lives, Father God. We pray, Lord, for tonight, Lord, that as we look into your word, Father, that you would convict us, Lord, that you would teach us, that you would guide us, Lord, that we would become more like you, that you would mold us and shape us into your glorious image, Father. Pray for all those who are not here tonight, Lord, that you would keep your hands of protection upon them, Lord. Watch over them and guide them. And lead them wherever they are, Lord. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, just again, we really did miss you guys last week. Thanks, Elijah, for filling in. And let's get back to where we've been. We've been in the book of 1 John. Tonight we'll be on 26 and 27. But again, just for context, let's start at verse 15. 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. Now to our text, verse 26. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. Okay. So he starts off here, these things I have written to you. Okay, so what do you think he's talking about here when he's saying, these things I've written to you?
Previous text,
which is why the past few weeks I've been reading the same verses. Okay, he's referring back to possibly as far back as 15, where he's telling us, you know, do not love the world, nor the things of the world, that the world is passing away and the lust of it. John is saying that it is the last hour and that Antichrist is coming. Then he's saying that many Antichrists have come. He was telling the church here that they went out from us. They were among us. But they went out and they were made manifest that they were truly never of us. Okay, so he's saying that there's antichrists out there. There's false teachers out there. And we talked about that, you know, even now, today in our time, there are antichrists and false teachers out there. Okay? He goes on to tell them that, but you have an anointing from the Holy One. And you know all things, meaning you know all about the Antichrist. You know the truth. Okay? He tells them, you know, I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know the truth. Then he goes on to say, who is a liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist. Okay? Then he tells them, so let this stuff abide in you. Let it abide in you. And the promise that we have is eternal life with Him. Okay. So these things about these antichrists, about these false teachers, about you knowing the truth, about it abiding in you, these things John has written to this church here concerning those who try to deceive you. Okay? He says they try to deceive you. The King James puts it, these things I've written unto you concerning them that seduce you. And the New American Standard writes, these things I've written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. Okay, the word seduce is in the Greek is planeo. And it means to properly cause to roam. Roam from safety or truth or virtue. To go astray. To deceive. To be in error. To seduce. To wander. To be out of the way. Okay? And in all three versions here, the New King James, which I'm teaching out of, the original King James, thank you, and the New American Standard, it's all in the present active here. Okay? So, those who try to deceive you, those who are, that seduce you, those who are trying to deceive you. Present active, it's a continuous thing here that these antichrists, these false teachers, are continuously trying to seduce, trying to spread false teachings, and are. Okay? And here they are trying to deceive the church. And even the ones now, what are they trying to do? Are they trying to do anything different than these false teachers and antichrists? No, they're still denying that Jesus is the Christ. Still plenty of false teachings and erroneous doctrines trying to seduce you, to deceive you. Okay? It's an ongoing thing here, which is why we should always be what? On guard. Always. But, you know, it's okay though, because worthy of the elect, you know, I'm elect, you're elect, so I really don't need to study my Bible that much or pray, you know. They can't deceive me. So there's no point in me, you know, reading my Bible or praying, right?
Wrong.
Thank you. Absolutely wrong. Okay? In fact, that's not the attitude that a true Christian will have. The true Christian, one who is truly saved, will be in the Word of God. We'll be praying continuously. We'll be looking to please God in all they do. We'll be on guard. You know, it's all over in Paul's epistles. You know, Jesus warns. John's warning. He's always warning of these people. That they're wolves in sheep's clothing. Watch out, stand guard. Be alert. He doesn't give us these warnings just, you know, for nothing. You know, warning, why do we give a warning for something? You know, if there's going to be a tornado, okay, and, you know, they don't have them here, but in places where tornado or, you know, there's a season for tornadoes, they have the sirens and, you know, and all the warnings. What's the point of that? What's the point of a tornado warning?
To warn people.
to tell you that a tornado is coming, to warn you to get underground, get to shelter, get to whatever you call them, basement or whatever, to your shelters. Why? So you can be protected, so you can be safe. Which is what a warning is. Okay, so he doesn't give us warnings so that we can just ignore them and think, I'm fine, this tornado can't hurt me, as it's picking you up and spinning you and throwing you 150 feet or off to the next state or whatever. Okay? So that should not be our attitude. We should never, you know, as you guys learned that, you know, none of us deserve to be saved. We all deserve death. And the most humbling and the most pride-killing doctrine of all the Bible is the fact that God, from before the foundation of the earth, would choose to save you and I. That He knew us before the foundations of the earth. Very humbling. None of us should ever have the attitude or the pride to say, I am of elect. I'm the elect. No, it's humbling. We should be on our knees always thanking God for His salvation. And growing. 1 John 3:7 says, little children, let no one deceive you. And we'll get to this here in a few weeks. John is saying, little children, let no one deceive you. Who is he talking to here? The church. He's telling believers here, let no one deceive you. Make sure no one is deceiving you, because they are trying to. People are going to try to seduce you, to deceive you. 1 Timothy 4:1. Listen to this. Paul says, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. What does this verse say here? That some might depart from the faith? Some will depart from the faith, and they will give heed to these deceiving spirits, doctrines of demons. Now, MacArthur writes on that. I want you guys paying attention. Those who fall prey to the false teachers will abandon the Christian faith. The Greek word for depart is the source of the English word apostatize, and refers to someone moving away from an original position. These are professing or nominal Christians, like the ones in 1 John who he says they were of us. They went out from us. Okay, so these are professing or nominal Christians who associate with those who truly believe the gospel. But they defect after believing lies and deception, thus revealing their true nature as unconverted. Same thing with this Antichrist that we read about. That they were among us. You know, we thought there was, you know, Brother Bill and Sister Sue. They're good Christians. But it says they went out from us. And they're Antichrists. So there will be some who are deceived. And it will be made known that they were never truly converted. Now you need to ask yourselves, you know, am I truly a Christian? Am I truly converted? Can I be seduced? Can I be deceived? Will I be, you know, taken by lies? As Christians, we should always, always, always be on guard. Always. And should always be growing in the knowledge and grace of our Lord and Savior. And by this, by this always growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord, and always being on guard, is showing that we, yes, we truly are converted. And that the Spirit truly does live inside of us. Always on guard. Verse 27. But the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in Him. But the anointing here, the Holy Spirit, okay, which was given to us, which we have received, abides in us. Anyone remember what abide means? To stay in a given place or state. To dwell. Okay? You're in the same position. So the Holy Spirit abides in us. Okay? But the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you. Remember that. And you do not need that anyone teach you. So thanks for coming. I'll see you guys later. Well, it says that you don't need anyone to teach you. Right?
No.
That's what the Bible says, that you don't need anyone. We don't need anyone to teach us.
No.
I'm going home.
No.
I'm not coming to church anymore.
What's for dinner?
Right.
I have a question.
Yes, Elijah.
Aren't you using the Bible to teach us? So isn't the Bible teaching us?
The Bible's teaching us that we don't need anyone to teach us.
Right, so you're not actually teaching us.
I'm not actually teaching you.
Okay,
correct.
So we can stay?
Yes. Okay, obviously, a little sarcasm, okay? You do not need that anyone teach you. Okay, the word teach here is didasko. Okay, it's a prolonged causative form of a primary verb, deo. And it means to learn. Okay, in the same broad application, to teach, to learn. So what do you think John is saying here? Why would John say, you have anointing, but the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. What do you think John's trying to say here?
Right. He's talking about the gospel, the gospel message to start with, mm-hmm. and those who are antichrist, or those who deny Christ as the Son of God. And he's saying, you don't need anyone to teach you new things about this. You already know this. You don't need someone to come along with some new, odd, weird doctrine that's apart from the Scripture or that's apart from the message that you have already heard. You have an anointing from the Holy Spirit, and that's what he's talking about, abiding in that, staying in that. You don't need to move to the left or to the right from that.
Bingo. That's exactly it. We don't need anyone ever, whether you visit a church, whether you're watching on TV, whether it's from right here, upstairs. We don't need anyone teaching us some new mystery or revelation that, you know, they've received, or someone teaching you some new doctrine that you've never heard before. Especially if it doesn't line up with the Word of God. You know, and some examples of that might be that, you know, let's think of some false teachers that we don't need to be taught. What are the some common new false teachings today? Maybe if you have enough faith, you will be healed.
If you go to church, then you're saved.
That's not a new one either.
Right.
Scientology.
Scientology. I saw a hand. Were you raising your hand?
Well, one of the things that a lot of times they're teaching is, put your Bibles away. You don't need that. You just need to have feelings.
Right. Feelings. We based our walk with Christ on emotional experiences. Or, you know, because the worship band, you know, made the Holy Spirit come down and there was a powerful movement going on. The Holy Spirit, where does the Holy Spirit abide?
In us.
In us. Do we need the Holy Spirit to come down? No. It's in us. Okay? Or, you know, teachings of because you're a Christian, you will be rich.
Purpose-driven
book. Yeah. Okay. So, where in the Bible does it say that because you're a Christian that it means you will be rich? Nowhere. And yet you turn on the TV and that's all you hear. You know, or if you have enough faith, you can be healed of anything. And if you're not healed of cancer or whatever, it's because you didn't have enough faith.
I like the people that are saying that Jesus and his entourage were all rich. Mm-hmm. That they had, I mean, that's why they had a treasurer, you know, because they had so much money and all these backers. And, you know, Jesus, his one-piece garment was a designer garment.
He didn't have a place to lay his head.
Right.
Boxes
and or, you know, so I hope you guys are getting the point here, okay? So if I come here one Friday night and I say, you know, first thing I do is I close my Bible. Okay? I'm not going to need this tonight. This week, when I was praying, I had a new revelation.
God appeared.
Yes. God spoke to me. I heard a voice. Brandon. Yes, God. Friday nights, I want you from now on to no longer teach out of the Bible. Now we're going to be doing this or that. You know, something erroneous. Okay? We don't need anyone to teach us any new doctrine or revelation or some dream they might have had. Do you guys understand that? We don't need anyone to teach us anything like that. Which is why we need to always be on guard. And if someone is teaching you, the Bible needs to be open. Okay. Anytime anyone is teaching you regarding God, okay, must line up with His Word. Must. Okay? Because God will never contradict His holy word. He's given it to us for a reason. He will never, ever, ever contradict His word. So if someone is starting to teach you something and they're not even opening the Bible, leave. We should be on guard. So, you know, I've said this a few weeks now. How important is it that we be in our Bibles daily?
Very.
Thank you. Very. Because they're out there trying to seduce you, trying to deceive you. And you want to make sure that you are truly converted, that the Spirit does live inside of you, that you know the Word of God, so that you're not deceived or seduced. Now, just a few verses that show that we are to be taught, just in case any of you are still confused about why it says you shouldn't be taught. You okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 1 Corinthians 12:28. And God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers. Ephesians 4:11. And He Himself, Christ God, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. So would God give someone the gifting of being a pastor-teacher and then not have them teach? Of course not. He gave some to be pastor-teachers for a reason, to teach, to equip the saints, is what a role of a pastor is, to shepherd, to equip the saints so that you guys can go out there be making disciples. True teachers will hold fast to sound doctrine and will teach and confirm the things that you already know and have come to receive in the Bible. Okay? They will hold fast to sound doctrine, will line up with the Word of God. We'll confirm the things that you know and help you grow. It won't be anything new or some weird new doctrine. But the same anointing teaches you concerning all things. Now here it sounds very similar to back in verse 20 when he says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things. Keep it in mind in this text he's talking about Antichrist, false teachers. Okay, so he says, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things,
Okay, same anointing from verse 20. That same anointing, John says, is what? It's true. It's not just some emotional, hyped up, you know, ooey gooey feeling so that you know how to act for a little while. This anointing is true. It might be a lie. Oh, no, it's not what it says.
This is no lie.
And is not a lie. This anointing, you guys need to understand, it is true. And it is not a lie. And it, the Spirit, teaches and guides us in what? Truth. You see, the Spirit that lives inside of you and me, if you truly are a Christian, it's abiding in you, will lead you, will guide you, will warn you, will send up the red flag when something doesn't sound right. And it doesn't mean that, well, you know, I've got the Spirit living inside of me, so again, I don't need to be reading my Bible. You know, the Spirit does that. True Christian will be in their Bible growing. They won't have the attitude of, you know, I'm elect, the Spirit lives inside of me, so I can just kick back and, you know, whatever. Just wait till I go home to heaven. No. One who is truly saved will be growing continuously, will be doing good works because they're saved, will be loving the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, will be making disciples. The Spirit warns us of error, gives us the red flag, like I said. Okay, you know, lets us know when something doesn't line up with the Word of God. Which is why he says in verse 20 and 21, again, let's read 20 and 21. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Or the NAS says, you know all. Verse 21, listen. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it. A true believer knows the truth. Right? A true believer will know the truth and know that no lie is of the truth. So because the Spirit is teaching us and will continue to teach us, lead us, guide us, verse 27 sums up and says, you will abide in Him. Now how comforting is that? Knowing that this anointing abides in us. That this anointing abiding in us will lead us, will guide us, will warn us, will comfort us. And then it says, you will abide in Him. Very comforting to know that, you know what? I will be abiding in this anointing. I will be growing. I will be loving. Because the true believer will be led by the Spirit. The true believer will cling to sound doctrine. Won't be caught up in some new doctrine or new dream or whatever. A true believer will rejoice in persecution and trials. Oh, you mean I'm supposed to rejoice in persecution? I can't complain and blame God when persecution comes? A true believer will rejoice in persecution. A true believer will persevere. And as Paul says in Philippians 2, 12 and 13, it says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to do and will for His good pleasure. Those who have truly received Christ Jesus our Lord will walk in Him. And they will abide in Him. The ones who haven't truly received Christ, you know, we might think they're Christians. But they won't persevere. They will be deceived. They will be led astray. They won't rejoice in persecutions. And they won't walk in Christ. So are you who claim to be Christians, come to church? You know, are you truly walking in Christ? Does the Spirit truly abide in you? And do you abide in Him? Or are you, you know, yeah, I call myself a Christian, but don't have time to read my Bible, don't have time to pray, have a few idols, you know, listen to any teacher who just sounds convincing or persuasive. That's someone who can be led astray. Do you guys all understand? The one who is truly converted will continuously be growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Will continuously be maturing in our faith. We'll be out there making disciples. We'll be loving each other as Christ has loved us. We'll not be complaining. And we'll truly be loving God with all of our hearts, whatever the cost. And will abide in Christ.
I just wanted to address real quick something you were on a little bit ago that sort of ties back in here. This attitude of haughtiness or pridefulness about being elect, as if, you know, we were someone special that deserved to be elect. With a little scripture, Paul in Romans 11 has been talking about how some of the branches of Israel were cut off for their disobedience, so that we as Gentiles were allowed to be grafted into the vine. He says, "Do not be arrogant toward the branches, but if you are arrogant, remember that it is not you who supports the root, but the root who supports you. Because of Israel, you can come in." You will say then, "Branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in." Quite right. They were broken off for their unbelief. But you stand by your faith. Do not be conceited, but fear. If God did not spare the natural branches, neither will He spare you. Behold then the kindness and severity of God. To those who fell, severity. But to you, God's kindness, if you continue in His kindness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. That should be very sobering. This whole idea of working out your salvation with fear and trembling should be very real to us. And our attitude, as we, you know, it seems that as we grow in our faith, we establish new habits and new practices, and we begin to look on at the world as though there's someone, they're lesser than us, that we have somehow achieved something greater than they because we have salvation. Again, as if it were a work of our own. And have this haughtiness about being, about our own salvation, as though we're somehow better. To take care, not only is that a poor witness, but it's also if we maintain that attitude, we should consider that we ourselves may be in jeopardy.
That's right. Anyone else have any questions? Questions? Comments? Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for everything, for our breath. Lord, you are the sustainer of our very life. We are here right now because of your grace, your kindness, your goodness. Lord, thank you for our salvation. Help that to be evident on how we act. Help us to have a lifestyle of thankfulness, that it is evident by how we talk, how we act, how we dress, how we love, that we truly are thankful for our salvation, and that we truly are converted, that we truly are a child of God. Lord, help us to always have this humility, because there was nothing good in us to deserve salvation. We could have never earned it for ourselves. Lord, may we forever be grateful and on our knees thanking you day and night for our salvation. Father, I pray that those in here today, Lord, and who have been coming on Friday nights, that as we've been looking into your word in 1 John, learning about the false teachers, the Antichrist, that are even out there today, Father, that your Spirit living inside in us, abiding in us, that it will continue to guide us, to lead us, to warn us. And Father, that we would be working out our salvation with fear and trembling, knowing that you are working in us, both to do and will. Father, that we would be in our Bibles daily, that we would be growing in the Lord, maturing daily, that we can stand guard, that we don't fall for the traps of the devil, of these antichrists. Help us to be the mature Christian who knows when something doesn't sound right. Help us to stand guard, Lord. Help us to be in your holy word. For we cannot learn if we are not in your word. Help us to be a ministry here, Lord, that we are encouraging one another, that we are growing together, that we are loving one another, that we are putting others' interests before ourselves, Lord, as you have told us. Help us, Lord, to look out for one another, to make sure that we all are growing together, to help those who are weak, to mature them, strengthen them, love them, pick them up, Lord. Help us to be making disciples as we are commanded to. Help us, Lord, to truly abide in you. Help us, Lord, to truly walk as you have walked. And as Paul says in Colossians, if we therefore claim Christ Jesus, let us also walk in him. And it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.